I read again this week as I was going through my Bible readings like that, the book of Numbers and this story. I was going to preach on something else tonight, but a couple things happened this week that I'll mention to you in the course of my message that led me back to this passage of Scripture. You know, when I was a young Christian, when I first got saved and I began to read the Bible, I'd come to the story of Balaam, and I didn't understand the story. I didn't understand because, the Israelites had come out of Egypt. They'd come to the land of Moab, and Balak, the king of Moab, had heard what they'd done to other nations. And so he called this man Balaam, who was a man of God, because the Bible says, "He whom thou blessed is blessed, and he whom thou cursed is cursed." So he was a man of God, and he had the power of God on his life, because when he cursed somebody, they were cursed, and when he blessed somebody, they were blessed. And so Balak sent to Balaam and said, "Hey, there's this people, and I'm come out of Egypt. I'm afraid they're going to overtake Moab. I want you to come curse them for me." And so he sent princes to Balaam to deliver that message, and Balaam went to God, and God said, "I don't want you to go. The people that he's talking about are my people. They're not cursed. I'm going to bless them. So you might as well just stay home." And so Balaam went to the princes that had sent from Balak and said, "I'm not going. God does not want me to go." So when those princes went back to Balak, and Balak said, "Well, I got to entice him more. I got to up the ante, so to speak. I got to give him more of a reward." And so he sent more honorable princes with more of a reward and delivered the message to Balaam. He said, "Now look, Balak will bless you beyond your comprehension if you'll come and curse his people." And Balaam said, "Well, let me go back and check and see if God's changed his mind." Now, it doesn't say that, but that's what he was asking. "Let me go back, I'll check with God and see if he's changed his mind since the last time I talked to him." And in answer to this second prayer, God said to Balaam, "Hey, if they call you again, go." Now, as I read this story, I thought to myself, well, God did change his mind, because he told Balaam to go. And yet, if you read down the rest of the chapter, and I won't read it all, but let me just read some of the verses. "And God," so Balaam decided to go, "and God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him." And I won't read the whole story, but you know the little donkey saw an angel of God in the way. He went running off into a field, and Balaam beat him to get it back on the path. And then the second time, when he saw the angel in the road, he popped up against a wall and crushed Balaam's foot. And the third time, he just fell down. Just fell down. And Balaam started beating him, and the donkey talked. And I find it always amusing that Balaam wasn't awestruck by the fact that his donkey was talking, but they were having a conversation. He said, the donkey said, "Hey, I've been your donkey for a long time. Have you ever done this before?" And Balaam said, "Well, no." You know, it's like it's normal to talk to never mind. And God opened his eyes, and Balaam saw the angel standing there, and the angel said, "Boy, unless your donkey had done what it had done, I would have killed you by now." And I didn't understand because God, the second time that Balaam came to him, said, "Okay, go. Go." And as I began to read and study more and think about the story over and over again, I realized that God was saying to Balaam in this story, "You don't need to come back to me. You don't need to ask the second time, because I don't change my mind." Now, there's all sorts of people in the world today that are trying to get Christians to go back to God and ask the question, "Hey, God, since you wrote the Bible, have you changed your mind? Have you changed your mind? Have things changed since you wrote this book?" And the world says, it comes to us and tries to give us reasons for going back to God. They say, "Hey, things have changed since the Bible was written. We live in a different world. Different things are happening today that didn't happen back in the Bible times. And so you need to go to God, and you need to check with him to see if he's changed his mind." Now, I'll just tell you tonight where I'm going. I have four or five examples, but I want to reinforce with you tonight that God does not change his mind. What God wrote in this book existed for all eternity past. Before he had the 40 different men write it down on the pages over a 1,500-year period, it was in the mind of God. And it was written on, whatever it was written on when it was first written, we have it on paper today, and we've had this book for a long, long time, and as long as we are living, it will not change. And then when we die and the next generation comes and the next generation comes and the next generation comes until we're taken to heaven in the rapture, until the world ends, this book will not change. Amen. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we get to heaven, now you listen to me, when we get to heaven, as that song says, Amazing Grace, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright, shining as the sun, we will be using the same book, the same truth that God, that existed in the mind of God before it was written on paper. It will not change for all eternity. And so we don't need to go back to God, even though the world encourages us to do it, and say, hey, have you changed your mind? Let me give you some examples tonight. Number one, sin is still sin. Hey, sin is still sin. We can dress it up. We can call it by a different name. We can make it socially acceptable. We can make it legal. And we can go to God on the world's behalf and we say, hey, God, we've dressed this sin up. We've made it legal. It's socially acceptable. What do you think? And God says, sin is still sin. Look, you can take an old dirty hog and you can give him a bath and you can spray him with perfume. And you can put an earring in his ear and in his nose. And you can put him in a, depending on if are hogs male or female or both, Brother Clint? Both? Okay, I didn't want to make a mistake. So you can either put a dress if you got a girl hog, or you can put a suit if you got a male hog. And you can paint his toenails, you can make him look, him or her look pretty, but when you get right down to it, Brother Harold, a hog, a hog is still a hog. I just wanted to make sure he's listening. That had nothing to do with him. A hog is still a hog. Again, let me just give you a couple examples. Now, I'm not going to chase rabbits tonight, I'm just going to tell you the truth. God calls killing people murder. We kill little babies. We've called it a mother's choice. We've called it a right of a mother to end the life of her baby. We've made it legal. We've somewhat made it socially acceptable. And it's become commonplace. Hundreds of times a day, thousands of times a week, it happens. It's happening all around us. It's not reported in the newspapers anymore. It's not headlines on the evening news. It happens every single day. Let's go to God and say, God, what do you think? What do you think? And God would come back to us and say, it's still murder. Now listen, I want to stop right here. I want you to realize something. We as Christians and our God in heaven loves, just like he loves you and me, every lady, every woman, every teenage girl that has had an abortion. He loves them. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for them. For them. It's one of the sins that Jesus paid for when he went to Calvary's cross. And I don't want you to go out of this place and think for a minute that your preacher in this church doesn't love women and girls that have had abortions, because we love them just like we love anybody else. But I tell you what, we are never going to get to the point to say what they did is not a sin, because it is a sin. Same thing. We call homosexuality a choice. We've made it illegal to discriminate. Over in, I can't remember if it was Scotland or England, I heard a news report this week that they arrested a preacher because he got up in his pulpit and he called homosexuality an abomination. And they arrested him because he was stirring up hate, supposedly, against those folks, and they threw him in jail. His church bailed him out, and he's going to go to trial. Now listen, we can make it legal, and corporations can extend health benefits to those relationships, and it can become socially acceptable. Adam gave me an article last week. A church somewhere was debating about how to put homosexual couples in their church directory. Were they going to put them together or separate? And their female assistant pastor, you can tell the hair on my neck went up. That's why I got a haircut this week. And their female assistant pastor came out with a statement that they were still praying about what God wanted them to do. And I thought to myself, lady, you ain't never going to get an answer to that prayer. Because unless you're a church that calls sin, sin, God ain't going to answer your prayer. And here's what happens. Sin, when sin becomes so commonplace, and it's on the TV every night, it's in books all the time, if we're not careful, we become callous to it, and we don't realize how sinful it is in the eyes of God, and pretty soon we go to God, maybe not in words, but in our actions, and say, God, it must be okay. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's accepted it. But God says, no, no, no. You don't need to come back. I'm not changing what I said in this book. Sin is still sin. I'm not going to change my mind. Number two, the Bible is still the Bible. The Bible is still the Bible. We have a translation of the month. They take the blood out. They call God a mother. They do away with hell. They lighten up on sin. They have the American Bible Society publish it. And we go to God and say, God, what do you think? Have you changed your mind? And God said, nope. It's a perversion of the month. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Now listen, I know there's people that say, well, we need to change the Bible so we can put it in a more modern language so people can understand it. I was in the bookstore. I can't remember what day it was. I was looking at the Bibles. I picked up a Bible. Let me read you a verse. See if you recognize this verse. I wrote it down. For the heavenly being so endeared the cosmos that he offered up his only offspring, that anyone who mentally consents that he is God will not cease to exist, but forever endure. Anybody got a guess? John 3:16. Hey, tell me, what's so wrong with, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life? I can understand that verse a whole lot better than I can understand this one. You listen to me. I can understand John 3:16. I don't need a different translation of the Bible to tell me that God loves me and sent his only begotten Son to die in my place on Calvary's cross. And if I'll put my faith and trust in him, I don't have to go to hell. I get to live in heaven with him forever. And I dare say, and I don't want to offend anybody, but I dare say that if we studied other verses in the Bible, like we have studied John 3:16, and we meditate on other verses in the Bible, like we meditate on John 3:16, and we try to memorize other verses in the Bible, like we've memorized John 3:16, we probably wouldn't need another translation to understand them either. Huh? We don't need, the Bible is still the Bible. God doesn't change. My grandma didn't finish the sixth grade. She dropped out of elementary school when she was in the sixth grade because of some things that was happening in her family. But when I was a teenager, and my grandma was in her 60s and her 70s, she would read to me this book. This book, the book that I am preaching from tonight, the King James Bible. And she told me on occasion after occasion after occasion, this is the book that I got saved by, this is the book I raised my family by, and this is the book I'm going to heaven based on. We don't need to change it. It is still the word of God. Number three, everlasting is still everlasting. Eternal is still eternal. It shocks me. I was at work the other day. I was talking to a girl. I thought she was a Christian. She'd tell me all the stuff that's going on in her church and how involved she's in. And then she said something I couldn't believe. She talked about losing her salvation. Her name's Renee. I said, Renee, what did you say? I must have misunderstood you. She said, well, if I don't hang on, I'm not going to heaven. I'm going to lose my salvation. I said, hang on to what? She said, well, doing all this good stuff. I said, you don't have... And I said, I can't believe it. I can't believe that you... And she got a little bit indignant with me, Brother Bill. I mean, she said, what do you mean you can't believe it? I said, I can't believe that you think you got to hang on to something to stay saved. Look, when you got saved, you put your faith in Jesus Christ. You didn't grab hold of something and say, I'm saved because I'm hanging on to this. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Boy, I tell you what, if my salvation depends on me hanging on to something, and if your salvation depends on you hanging on to something, we are all in a heap of trouble. I can't hang on that tight. I can't hang on that long. Praise God, I don't have to hang on. There's somebody hanging on to me. And I am saved forever and ever and ever and ever. The moment I put my trust in Jesus Christ, He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He put the righteousness of Christ on my record. And I know some of you say, oh, there you go again. Once saved, always saved. You Baptists are all alike. I tell you what, I'm proud to be called a Baptist because I believe what this book says. That once we're saved, we're always saved. You did not do nothing to get it, and you can't do nothing to lose it. You did not do anything to deserve it, and you cannot do anything to undeserve it. You did not hang on to anything to get it, and you can't let go of anything to lose it. Look, I don't know how people live that think they got to earn their salvation. I mean, if there was anybody that could mess it up, it would be me, and it would be you. We can't live our life in such a way that we deserve salvation. Because as Janine testified a moment ago, there is nothing that we can do to deserve the love of God. We're just a bunch of sinners. And if it wasn't for His grace, we'd all be in hell. Every single one of us. Everlasting is still everlasting. Eternal is still eternal. God doesn't change His mind. Number four, the great commandments are still the great commandments. Lawyer came to Jesus one time, tempted Him, tried to put Him on the spot. What's the great commandment? Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. God hadn't changed His mind. Here's what the world says today. Oh, well, put yourself first. In fact, you can be your own God. You can decide what's right and what's wrong. You are smart enough to do that. You can define for yourself what righteousness and what unrighteousness is. You go ahead and decide that. You go ahead and make that choice. No, 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 1,000 times no. God hasn't changed His mind. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. That's the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. A lot of people say, boy, this Christian life is a hard life to live. No, it's not. No, it's not. You just love God with everything you got. Everything you are. Don't put anything before Him. Love Him with everything. And then love your neighbor like you love yourself. All the commandments, all the 10, all the other ones that are in this book, all the principles, They revolve around those two. And God hasn't changed. He's still the same. Number five, the Great Commission is still the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. People say, well, it's different today. People are harder today. They're harder. You just can't go out like they went out in those days and tell people about Jesus. Huh? Hey, God, what do you think? It's 2007, almost 2008. We live in a world that's harder today. People have harder hearts. They don't pay attention to you like they did back in Bible days. You think we need to change the plan? God says, no, no, no. Here's the plan. You get saved, and then you go tell somebody else how to get saved. And then you go tell somebody else how to get saved. You go tell somebody else how to get saved. And they go tell somebody else how to get saved. And they go. I tell you what, if we did what we were supposed to do, we'd win the world in a matter of weeks. Huh? If we did what we were supposed to do, get saved, tell somebody. They tell somebody, and they tell somebody. And while they're doing that, we're still telling somebody else, and we're telling somebody else, and somebody else. God hasn't changed. His plan to spread the gospel is still the same. And so, like I said this morning, when he says, go, go. Not a request. Not when you feel like it. It's a command. Go. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every person you come in contact with. Every person you run into needs Jesus. They're going to die and they're going to go to heaven or they're going to go to hell. And the person that will make the difference is not how good they've been. It's not what church they belong to. It's not what good deeds they've done in their life. What makes the difference is, do they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Say, Brother Darrell, don't you think you should preach a narrow gospel? It's not my idea. It's God's idea. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I don't need much explanation. I don't need a new translation to understand that. In my pea brain mind, I can understand. Jesus is the only way to heaven. There ain't no other way. Joining the church ain't going to get you to heaven. Giving offering ain't going to get you to heaven. Getting baptized ain't going to get you to heaven. Taking communion ain't going to get you to heaven. Being good ain't going to get you to heaven. All those things are good things. In their place, the only thing that's going to get you to heaven is to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You see, we're all sinners. The wages of sin is death. And if we got what we deserved, every single one of us would be separated from God forever in that place called hell. But God loved us while we were yet sinners. And he sent his Son to die in our place, to pay for our sin. And the Bible says that as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now you listen to me. If you're here tonight and you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven, you need Jesus. You need him. You need to come tonight and say, I'm a sinner. God, I need Christ. And you need to ask him to be your Savior right now. Not tomorrow, not the next day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Right now, tonight, if you're not saved, you need to ask Jesus to be your Savior. We'll help you. If you'll come, we're going to sing in just a moment. If you'll come and say, Preacher, I don't understand it, but I know I'm a sinner, and I know there's something missing in my life. I want to give Jesus a chance. I've tried everything else. I'm going to try God. I want to try Jesus. You come. We'll take the Bible, and we'll show you the verses in the Bible that I quoted a moment ago, and we'll help you ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight.